This is really interesting. Toronto's Centre for Addiction and Mental Health says it's received its first ever federal grant to study whether the active component in magic mushrooms, psilocybin, can be used to treat depression without psychedelic effects. Dr. Ishrat Hussain is Associate Professor of Psychology and Head of the Clinical Trials Unit at CAMH, and he is good enough to give us a little bit of his time this morning. I know you're a busy man, so I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
How long has this, funding grant been waiting approval?
Well, we submitted it earlier this year, and we're pleased to find out a couple of weeks ago that the federal government is supporting us with this particular proposal. So it's been a while in development, but pleased to hear that it's now on the go, and we can start developing and launching the trial.
What motivated the Center for Addiction and Mental Health to look into studying magic mushrooms, specifically psilocybin, as a treatment for depression?
I think it's important that an academic center like CAMH is at the forefront of psychedelic research, as many people may be aware that these drugs are getting a lot of attention in the public and in the media as potential breakthroughs in the treatment of mental illness, including depression. But really, what we really want to do is understand how these drugs work, how we could scale them up if they do work, and whether they're safe for individuals with mental illness. So the sort of motivation for this particular work was trying to add to the evidence base that psychedelics like psilocybin are effective and safe, and also how they could potentially be scaled up, because at the moment, when you administer these drugs, they require quite a lot of resource and intensive psychological support during the treatment.
Is that because of the psychoactive ingredient?
Absolutely, yeah. In an active dose of psilocybin, the psychoactive or the psychedelic trip, as it's commonly referred to, lasts up to 8 hours.
Wow.
Which means that a patient needs to be supported for that entire time by two trained therapists, and that can be quite resource intensive. And, you know, then if it is effective, how do we then sort of implement that into the healthcare system and on a wider scale? So we're trying to test whether you actually need that psychedelic effect to have the therapeutic benefits. And although it's such an important question, there's no study that we're aware of as yet that's looked to answer it.
Okay, so how will your study be, I guess, structured, and how will it look to answer that?
So it's an innovative clinical trial. It's a what's called a double dummy study. And what we're going to do is, what's unique about it is that we're actually going to confirm the effectiveness of psilocybin alone, because we're going to compare it to what's called a placebo or an inactive drug. But we're also going to look at psilocybin in combination with a commonly prescribed drug in mental illness that actually blocks psychedelic effects. And this is a drug that's routinely available. And we're going to give it prior to giving a group of people the psilocybin, which will then allow us to compare the effectiveness in each group to see, you know, how they differ in terms of with or without that psychedelic effect.
I guess the best outcome would be if you found positive results within both of those groups, the one with the blocker and without the blocker, because then people could choose how they would like to get their treatment.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's important. I think, you know, outside of a professional setting, often people approach me and say that they're very intrigued by the idea of getting access to psychedelic drugs for the treatment of their mental health issues, but they're apprehensive about something like an 8-hour psychedelic experience. So this may be a way to increase social acceptance, and above all, also increase access and scalability on a broader scale in our health service. So that would be a great outcome if we're able to show that, and if we're able to confirm it in further studies.
Yeah, tell me about it. How long would the treatment last for each person? You know, it's an 8-hour trip, so each dose would last about 8 hours, but how long does the clinical study go for?
So, like any clinical trial, particularly trials of psychedelic drugs, they're intricate, complex. We're dealing with a controlled substance, vulnerable populations. We want to make sure that we're doing the science robustly and you know are following all the sort of required steps to ensure that. We've given ourselves a 3-year timeline for this particular study, which would allow us time to set up everything appropriately, recruit the right population, and then administer the treatment.
We've all been here, you know, we've all heard these stories about, you know, drug use, LSD, magic mushrooms, especially the psychedelics, where, you know, in the past, people have taken too high a dose and gone off the deep end. It's actually led to mental health issues. I don't know if it's, you know, we don't know for sure if that's what led to the mental health issues or they were there or if it was, you know, a situation where it was a coincidence. But how much of a worry is that?
I think it's a reasonable concern, and I don't think these particular types of drugs are a panacea or a one-size-fits-all approach for people with mental health conditions or anybody. I think that, you know, in the studies that have been done so far, and even the study that we are going to do, we are carefully selecting people to ensure that they wouldn't be vulnerable to those psychoactive effects, because there are a group of individuals for whom these treatments would be inappropriate, particularly those, for instance, with a history of severe mental illness like schizophrenia or psychosis. Then you wouldn't want to give them something that, further sort of something that alters their consciousness and can cause psychotic symptoms. So we're carefully selecting the population that we're studying, and it is a concern. I'll stress that, as I said, it's not a one-size-fits-all, and these aren't appropriate for everybody.
Dr. Hussain, I was doing a little research before our conversation, and I heard that you mentioned in the past that people, specifically young people, have started to self-medicate with microdoses. Now, a lot of people are familiar with microdoses. Can you expand on what you've been seeing when it comes to psilocybin use?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's this internet subculture that's kind of developed and led to this practice of microdosing, whereby particularly younger folks are microdosing either LSD or psilocybin in an attempt to enhance their cognitive function or psychological well-being. But actually, the evidence that microdosing any psychedelic has mental health benefits is very, very weak. And in fact, there's been no published study in people with a diagnosed mental health condition of microdosing. So it's something that we see in our clinical practice. I work in the CAMH emergency department. I've seen people come in with, you know, with quite severe mental illness, and you learn that they have been self-medicating with these psychoactive substances like psilocybin. So it's very important that people don't seek out these drugs themselves, try and self-medicate, and always approach a health professional, because, as I said, they're not for everybody.
Right. Obviously, your clinical trial is going to be, everything is going to be well measured. But if you're dealing with people microdosing and they're actually using specifically the physical magic mushroom, it'd be pretty hard to figure out the dose.
Yeah. And that is a very important point. When we are doing these clinical trials, we're using, pharmaceutical grade investigational drugs, whereas in the public, if you're ordering something online or getting something from somebody you don't know, you actually don't know what's in the compound you're taking, what the dose is. So it's really important not to seek this out, recreationally.
The long-term goal with your study would be that we could possibly see psilocybin use being prescribed by doctors for depression?
The long-term goal is to find a new, safe and effective treatment for depression, because there is a large group of people that don't get better with what we have. And we hope that we are able to find a safe, effective, and accessible treatment through this clinical trial with psilocybin and help, a large number of the population.
Dr. Hussain, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. It's a fascinating study, and we'll check in and see how it's going. Hopefully, 3 years will pass very quickly, and it will be successful.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Have a great day. Yep. Dr. Bye-bye. Hussain, Associate Professor of Psychology and Head of the Clinical Trials with Psilocybin at CAMH that will get underway soon. It's the first federal grant to study magic mushrooms as a treatment for depression in Canada.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.